There are two parts to this Belt and Road. One is the very high-profile link between China and Europe. And of course, it plays on the old Silk Road idea of the links, the traditional links between China and Europe. And that's the symbolism that China wants to use, because it wants to recreate, if you like, that old Silk Road of mutual benefit from trade and, you know, no country wanting to dominate another and those sort of messages. We're very keen to, of course, apply the same logic to the ocean, because, of course, 90% of the world's trade is actually on the ocean by ship. And there's the Pacific Ocean with a great super connector. You know, we connect the great economies of Asia with the great economies of the Americas, and of course there's Oceania in between. And so there is this great potential for this maritime Silk Road to build the port infrastructure, to support the development of interconnectivity, to link our small economies of the Pacific with the larger economies of the Pacific Rim.
Now, China is billing this as its gift, if you like, to the world. Is that a fair assessment in terms of how the Pacific could in the future benefit or perhaps not benefit from this push outwards?
Well, it's a very interesting time in the world. You know, there's that old saying that the old curse, should we live in interesting times? And we really do, because there's been this growth in international trade and investment and an opening and liberalisation of the world economy, which really was led by the United States. But we're now in a position where the United States is saying, well, we want to put ourselves first. And now China is starting to say, we want to be the new world leader that wants to make sure nobody's left behind, that everybody's included. Now, we need to hold them to this, of course. So it's the countries that are at the periphery, that are isolated and distant, that need to make sure that, in fact, if there is going to be a new form of globalisation that doesn't leave anybody behind, then we need to make sure the Pacific Islands are not left behind. I think the summit in the last couple of days has been largely about bringing leaders together, allowing people to have a platform so that they can demonstrate their commitment to the principles, to the ideas behind this grand scheme. And it's certainly been successful in that, I think. I think it's been very clear from the representatives of countries right across the world, including representatives from the Pacific region, that there's broad support for the principles of a new form of globalisation that includes everybody, that really does invest in that infrastructure that developing countries need. It's a different kind of approach to development. It's not an aid approach. It's very much about let's build industries, let's build trade and investment connectivity. And there's that confidence that, in fact, that's worked in places like China. It's worked in other East Asian economies. It's been about trade. Trade is what has led to development. And so the concept is let's spread that across the world. And I think we heard very strong consensus from the world that, yes, this is the approach for the 21st century.